When did that stop being a thing in songs? Why doesn't that still happen now?
I think like we evolved.
Post Malone.
I think we evolved with the civil rights movement.
Post Malone to come out and do like his sleep grind thing that he does. And then just in the middle of the song, someone goes, bam, 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 bam.
What's sleep grind?
That's what I call his music. Because it's got that Drake like, like 8-4 drum beat in the background that every fucking song seems to have now because no one knows how to program anything other than an 808.
I mean, my mind's still stuck on the fact that you just sang the song from Dirty Dancing. And I
The time of my life.
And all I can think of is Patrick Swayze is dead. He's dead, Damien. He died. A cruel, horrible death.
I can't forget that. I've got it tattooed on my forearm.
Oh, man. I was so crazy for Swayze.
Crazy for Swayze.
I don't think I'd made that up. I don't
crazy.
Think that's mine.
Crazy. Crazy for Patrick Swayze.
No, don't put the Patrick in. It's funny if you go crazy, crazy for Swayze. That's better.
Yeah, I don't know.
Shut up. I know what I'm talking about.
Do ya? Do ya?
Yeah, I do.
Hey, if you, what's your favorite movie song?
What's your favorite dick? My dick.
Kelly. What do you guys talk about in your podcast? Hey, Kelly.
What's my favorite dick?
Now, let's get real.
Yeah.
What's your favorite dick?
What's my favorite dick? I know.
What a terrible podcast this is.
What's your favorite movie song? You fucking idiot.
My favorite movie song. I don't know. No, not Dirty Dancing.
Mate, you're the musical world. Queen.
Yeah, I'm thinking because it's too many. Okay, too many.
Or you can have a few. You can have a few.
Are we taking like musicals are out? It's more just
take musicals out. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. How about this? What's your favorite big song single that's spun out of a movie? So like Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing or
Heart Will Go On.
Yeah, fucking Danger Zone from Top Gun.
Oh, yeah. It's really hard. I feel, that's a really hard question.
I'll tell you mine.
Yeah.
I love Kiss Me, Thrill Me. Hold Me, Fuck Me by U2.
But that's not, no. Thrill Me, Kiss Me.
Kill Me, yeah.
Something, what's the third one?
From Batman Forever.
Hang on, Thrill Me.
Hold Me, hold me Kill Me, Thrill
hold
Me,
Hold
Me,
Thrill
me.
Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me.
Yeah, whatever.
Hold
something
me,
like that.
Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Her.
But I don't know if that's a top, I don't think it's a number one hit. If you asked me when I was 12 years old, I would have said Everything I Do It For You by Bryan Adams from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. It's got to be up there, right?
That is so up there.
It doesn't happen anymore, right? The last time I remember a song getting some traction from a film was the Lego film and the Tegan and Sarah song, like Everything Is Awesome, but that was more like a viral song that people were the kids were TikToking to and stuff.
I mean, I do really like Fame, I'm Gonna Live Forever.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what you scream at me after you've had four rails of coke when we go out.
I'm like, but there's so many, like in the 80s, and that, like Up Where We Belong,
yeah, Love Lives. What film was
take
that from?
A look at me now.
What film's that from? Are these from films or are you just now saying 80s
songs? I'm looking at a top. I'm looking at a big thing. What is Up Where We Belong? Oh, I feel like it's from Officer and Gentleman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then because I always think of the Phil Collins one. Take a look at me now. But then.
What movie's that from?
I don't know if it maybe it's,
I don't know if that is from a film.
I think it might be. Hang on. You hear the dogs in the other room? Take a look at me now. Phil Collins. Against all odds.
Like, there used to be soundtracks that would be number one albums for years. Like, the Big Chill soundtrack that seemed to be mailed out to everybody in the suburbs in the early 80s. The Batman soundtrack that Prince did, that was, like, a huge hit.
It is from a film. It's from a film with two people. It's a film called Against All Odds. Richard Ward, Jeff Bridges. Rachel Ward and Jeff Bridges, and they're like having sex on the beach.
Oh yeah.
I thought it was.
Nothing like that Lebowski dong.
I know. And like, so it's stuff like that. Stuff like that's pretty cool. I love. And then I love the one.
Can I have 500 grams of the Lebowski dong, please?
Yeah, I'll have the Jeff Bridges, hold the bow Bridges, if you could. Fight the Power. That's one.
Is that Fight from Boys in the Hood?
Yeah. No, Do the Right Thing. Eminem, Lose Yourself, big one.
Yeah, that's probably the most recent.
I mean, everyone talks about Whitney Houston. Actually, you know what it is? I think it's 9 to 5, from 9 to 5, for Dolly Parton.
Of course it is. It's Dolly Parton.
It's Dolly Parton. I just didn't even
It's probably 9 to 5 from the album 9 to 5, the Motion City the motion picture soundtrack from the movie 9 to 5 starring Dolly Parton.
But then Saturday Night Fever is really good too.
It just doesn't happen anymore, does it?
No.
I can't think of...
No.
The films are either...
No, you know what it is?
Way it's too fucking serious or bland to even
Lady Gaga. That's the last person who did it.
Oh, Tell
me something, boy.
From blah, 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 Crazy Heart or whatever the fuck. A Star Is Born. Deep
end, watch as I dive
all right, in. All right, all right.
I'll never
Hey, it's not, this isn't Young Talent time, all right?
I was seeing my mic technique there.
Yeah, I did. I could hear it as well. It was all over the place. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's Kelly's microphone technique.
Because I didn't want...
She calls it the F1.
Because I didn't want to... I didn't want people to go, ooh, that's bad radio. Because I was like...
Mate, that's...
We're on really sing in the
we're
mic.
On the bad radio network.
Yeah.
We're part of the bad radio family. Because we're bad and we're also bad.
What's
been going on this week? Some people, we got some feedback. We've got mixed feedback about our chats before the.
Some people really like it and they're like, hey, give us the Kelly and Damien show.
Yeah.
And then, some people like get to the movies.
Yeah. That was a piece of feedback from a super fan, Celia, I think her name is.
Stop name dropping, you fucking dickhead.
You mention her every week.
Because I'm telling a story and she's in my life and we're always.
Well, that was the feedback that we got from
Celia. We're always doing
and other people as well.
Like, we're always doing interesting stuff together. So naturally, you know, because we're so interesting
you
and fabulous, we're always, Yeah, well, bring me the heat, baby. Bring me the stories. What's been happening? Jimmy is getting a scratch right now. We still have Willow, the foster dog, who online is called Pasito.
Pasito.
But we call her Willow, and she's getting fixed on Wednesday, and then she can be advertised. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'll have a long black, and on the side, could I have a Pasito, please?
Well, she just entered the room. So.
Oh, Pasito.
Hey, baby.
Here she is.
Hey, baby Gil. Hi. Of course she wants to come on the couch with Jimmy's on. Of course.
The poos, I know people want a poo update in the house, have not stopped. Just non-stop poos in the house. The backyard is now basically phosphorus from the amount.
I feel like I can smell a poo.
Yeah, it's definitely been done. We can't worry about it right now because we're recording a podcast. We'll deal with the consequences of leaving them.
I can definitely smell a poo.
We'll leave the consequences of what's happened in 20 minutes when we wrap up the podcast.
Okay. But right, she's been really good going inside, outside. And I've put her outside a bunch today. So if she has done a poo inside, I'm very surprised. Maybe I should have left that back door open for her.
Here's a question for you. So my work have told us about their end of year Christmas party. And ours, we're a small team. Like, it's a small team at my work. One of the girls at work is hosting it.
At her house.
At her house, yeah. Weird, right?
Weird.
I feel quite uncomfortable about it.
It just feels weird. I don't know.
If we had all been working together for 10 years and were like best mates, or if we had like started a small business together and it was like, yeah, no, we'll just have our Christmas party at Jones. This is like 12 people who barely know each other. You know, it's weird, man. And now, like, and of course, you don't want to go to this thing in the first place. And then, of course, it becomes that thing of like, who's bringing what? It's like, I don't want to bring anything.
I don't want anyone in my house.
I don't want to go to this thing. And now I'm catering it. What happened to just having like a lunch that the work pays for?
So you go to this chick's house around the corner from your work. And everyone has to bring a plate. Is that the story?
No, she's doing, look, to be fair, like, it's very sweet and they're doing like a huge like spit
thing. Oh, okay. Like, so the work is paying for a spit.
I assume so. But then it's like, oh, well, you know, if you want like, I don't know. I don't know if people are paying for this shit or I don't know. Because if she is, that's not fair.
No,
like,
she's
paying like $200 for a spit to.
Okay. No. Listen, here we go. This is what's happening, right? Mate. Tell me where the lie is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, guys, I live around the corner. Why don't I do it? Like, I'll set the table, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, cool. So instead of us going to a restaurant and spending like, you know, $800 on everyone or $1,000 more on everyone having lunch, you know, she's like, look, just give me $700, you know, save three. Hang on, wait. Give me $700 and I'll buy the food, I'll set the table, I'll do the sides, it'll be great. And then now you're telling me she's doing a spit. I'm telling you right now, spit is owned by like her brother or something, and she's probably only spending $300-$400 on whatever she's doing and then pocketing the rest because, as you just said, she's like, oh, you know, so we're covering the spit and blah, 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 but I guess if you want to have other stuff there, you can do that because she's not going to provide it because she's pocketing the rest of the money. Because I don't know how much it cost, like how much money they've given her.
My counter argument to this is there is a Christmas party.
Separate to this?
Yes.
Ah.
I think this has been organized outside of that because everybody in our department's like, oh, I don't really want to go to a piss up, but it would be nice if we had an end of year breakup sort of lunch thing. So they've organized it themselves, you know?
This is weird.
Yeah. I don't get, like, and I know that I'm the psycho here. I know everybody else seems to love it, but I don't understand the obsession with being, like, best mates and a family at work. It's like, I hate being here.
Mm.
I hate it.
Mm.
I don't want to be, if a friendship naturally, like, I've got mates that I met through work, like Andre and stuff, I've been friends with for 15 years now, but that just happened naturally.
Mm.
Like, we got sat next to each other and we just happened to become good mates.
Because that's
like,
what happens. You always find one or two that are your souls.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them are just weirdos.
Yeah, but I don't want to be stuck. Like, I'd rather work. You know what I mean? Like, if the two options are go to some straight, and I've only been at this job. I'm only working there for 3 months as well. That's the other weird thing. Like, it's not even an icebreaker thing because this happens and then 2 weeks later my contract finishes.
Dude,
and I'll never speak to these people ever 100%. Again.
Dude, I just love the chick from my work who never turns, she never comes to the office because she's like got asthma or whatever. And I'm like, fine, I'm not going to, I love working from home, so I'm not going to judge her. But because she only never comes to the office ever means she won't come to the Christmas party. So she's like, so I'm just going to log off when you guys go to the Christmas party.
No, see, this is, I don't agree.
Boss was like, no, you either go to the Christmas party or you work.
I actually agree.
They're the choices. And she's like, no. And then
this will be the one time I ever agree with a boss ever. Yeah. It's like, no, dude, like you're either working
or
you're
right?
Not.
Yeah, right. Well,
or
let me finish the story. So
you don't get paid for that after.
So he goes, so at the time in the meeting, he goes, no, you'll be working. You either, that's your choices. And then when we had our one-on-one, we talked, I said to him, I was like, man, the ball's on her saying that. And he goes, she did the same thing last year. And then as like 10 minutes before we left to go to the lunch, she's like, hey, I'm just letting you know I'm logging off for the rest of the day. Like, so he's like, okay, so this is your choices. She's like, yep. And then 10 minutes before the lunch when he can't really talk to her or do anything, she's like, yeah, logging off for the rest of the day. And he's just like, and to me, he was just like, oh, he's like, fuck, I don't care. Do whatever you want. just such a pain in the ass. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a couple of hours, whatever.
But you could quite easily not kick up that stink. Say, oh, I'll work if that's okay, guys. I don't really feel like coming in all the way to the city to go to some lunch that is going to be awkward and weird and I'll hate. So just say you're going to work from home and then do nothing.
Can I just rewind for a second?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking up, like, top movie songs and I'm just The Way We Were.
Right.
The Way We Were, you know, Could It Be, you know that song?
This is just so an good excuse for you to sing.
Dude, it's so good. Like, Memories, that's that song.
Memories.
Memories. Next song, When the Going Gets Tough, Tough Gets Going.
From the Jewel of the Nile?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. Next one, Endless Love.
Do you know Danny DeVito sang backing vocals on that?
Yeah, I remember seeing film clip. Yeah, the film clip, but I don't think it
is. Not
but
in real
life. Endless Love. And then there's In Your Eyes from Say Anything. In Your Eyes, Peter Gabriel, remember?
What were these? Are all very 80s. Were there any like hits when we were teenagers? Because there were the teenage film made a comeback in the 90s. There was Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, like all those kind of films. Like
Tiny Dancer.
10 Things I Hate About You. Like there were a lot of teen Empire Records. There were a lot of films that were hits that were teenager films. But no songs came out of those. Bob, these are still 80s. I'm trying to move the conversation along to the 90s now. We're not Will Anderson. We don't just read Wikipedia entries on our podcasts. Let's try and have a conversation here.
I know, but I'm just trying to answer your question. But I feel like Con Air, How Do I Live, 1997.
Is that Leanne Rimes? How Do I Live?
Trisha, she sang it as well, but this one is the Trisha Yearwood one.
God, I don't know who these people are.
Yeah, but they're all 80s, like Kermit the Frog, David Bowie, Underground, Starship. Nothing's going to stop us now.
I know the most recent.
What?
The fucking Skyfall by Adele.
Skyfall, because my butthole needs a dig hole.
That was a hit, and yeah, that was a big film. But it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen anymore because films are boring and shit. But that's what we do. We talk about them on this podcast.
This is.
I sound so resigned, like, oh, God, I'm going to fucking do this shit again. This is, should we just watch it real quick, the only podcast in the world that talks about films and movies. I'm one of your hosts, Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't give him a medical school to be called Mr. Thank you very much. Fuckwit. And your co-host in the blue corner, the raging Cajun, the 10-foot Death from above, the killer from Manila, Kelly.
That's
Big
me.
Whoop, want to fight about it for Stuka.
Yay.
I completely fucked that box. I was going to do a whole boxing thing and just it sucked real hard.
This is the first week where I fell asleep in one of the things we watched.
Yeah, you did. And I don't think that's unfair because there was a very dreamlike quality to this show.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you've seen on the tin that we're talking about Scott Pilgrim.
On the tin?
Yeah.
Tin.
On the tin.
T-I-N.
Like a tin, like a tin of tomatoes. Like there's a label on the tin of tomatoes. It does. You don't know the saying, it does what it says on the tin?
No.
Okay. Well, there's a saying called, Jesus Christ.
A tin. On the tin. So, the tin, you mean like on the label of this episode, people already
know. Yeah, it's a saying meaning like,
that's very clever.
It does what it does. You know what I mean?
That's like very clever. Yeah, good one.
Okay.
Yeah, good one.
Anyway, I love how like I have to explain Australian colloquialisms to you. Like,
well, I've never heard it before.
You've
Damien.
Never lived in this country.
I've never heard that before in the tin.
I did. I actually didn't really live in this country. I lived in New York for a bit. I don't know if I've mentioned it, but
got him.
Got her.
All right.
So Scott Pilgrim 2 or whatever the fuck it's called. What's it called?
It's called Scott Pilgrim Takes Off and it's a cartoon.
Yes. The interesting facts of this is that Edgar Wright, who directed Scott Pilgrim, is the executive producer of this. It feels like he got the whole cast back together. Michael Cera is playing Scott Pilgrim. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is playing the babe. Jason Schwartzman plays the bad guy.
Kieran Culkin,
who's the housemate, Aubrey Plaza. So watching this first episode, it is almost a shot-for-shot remake of the film up until the fight between the Indian emo ex-boyfriend and Scott, and then Scott loses.
Mm.
Whereas in the film, he beats all the ex-boyfriends and gets together with Ramona. I think this is really...
Oh, that's the chick. That's the green chick from the Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's her. She's gorgeous.
Yeah, she's stunningly beautiful. Wow. And is with Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
I think Ewan might have cheated on his wife to get with Mary Elizabeth. Anyway.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Anyway, allegedly. I don't want... You know how litigious McGregor is. Anyway... So, I loved Scott Pilgrim. I don't know if you watched it when it came out.
Yeah, I was never. I kind of was like, oh, okay. Like, I was more Mallrats, Empire Records, blah, blah, blah. This was a bit.
Well, this was later than that. But yeah. I loved it. I loved Edgar Wright. And I was like, this was kind of like his first American film after he'd come across from England. And at the time, I loved it. I loved Scott Pilgrim. And then I watched it again during lockdown. I went to the premiere. I don't even know how we got tickets, but I went to the premiere of it with Nick Halls and Daniel Hall. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my mates. I don't know how they got tickets to
you
the premiere.
You have friends?
Yes, lots. I don't know how we got tickets to the premiere, but we went and I loved it. And then I watched it again during lockdown and I messaged Dan. I'm like, hey, Scott Pilgrim's like really gross and misogynistic, right? And he was like, yeah, totally. Like, it is totally from the perspective of, like, a 22-year-old boy. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, and that's probably why I loved it at the time. And then watching it now, it's like, Scott is insufferable. And, like, even just the idea of, like, he can't get over the fact that his current girlfriend or the girl he's got a crush on has ex-boyfriends.
It's so dumb that I hate, because that's the same reason why I hated that, is it High Fidelity?
Oh, yeah. I still really like High Fidelity.
Maybe it's not that one. What's the
other
one?
It is High Fidelity. It is High Fidelity because he's like top five ex-girlfriends.
Yeah.
But he's talking about his ex-girlfriends.
Yeah, but there's something about there's that same kind of like dude who's just like angsty and a fucking like, why can't she love me? But it's like, look at you. Have a look at you, dickhead.
To be fair, in that film, that's his arc, is that he is a flawed character. And then he realizes that over time and gets back together with his long-term girlfriend because he realizes he's a fuckwit.
Yeah, it's just
undesirable. In Scott Pilgrim, he defeats all the ex-girlfriends and then gets together with Ramona but has left a complete trail of, like, wreckage in his life. Like, he's completely heartbroken the schoolgirl that he is dating, that he never kisses but is still dating a fucking schoolgirl. Leaves his band, almost makes it so his band don't get signed. I mean, they're all very small time things, but I don't know. Just watching it again as a middle-aged man, I was like, I don't like this and I don't like these people. So it was interesting to watch this episode because I'm like, I feel like they're going to rewrite Scott Pilgrim to make it palatable for now, not so male-centric.
I feel like, you know how you say, if we watch something and, like, the leads are not nice people.
Yeah.
And you go, it disconnects you from watching it, like Succession. You're like, I don't like these people. These are terrible people. I just can't get behind a TV show where the protagonists are awful. And it makes you switch off. I feel the same way about
Scott. Well, not always, but yeah, most of the time.
No, but, and that's not, you're not crazy. Like, that's a genuine, same reason why a lot of people didn't like Seinfeld, because they weren't redeemable, these characters. But the same reason that that's your thing, my thing is whenever I see guys like High Fidelity or Scott Pilgrim or any movie, was it 500 Days of Summer?
Yeah.
Like whenever I see that angsty guy who's being a sook because he fucks it up, blah, 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 and he's just hating on women because they don't do what he wants. Don't love me, blah, blah, blah.
Selfishness, yeah.
There's a selfishness. I absolutely 100% turn off and I cannot get into it. It's just gross to me.
There was something about, so like I thought, just to get back to my, just finish my thought real quick. I thought like, oh, they're going to rewrite this so there's a Scott Pilgrim in the media landscape that isn't so 20 years ago. And they don't until the very last minute of the first episode where Scott loses to the first boyfriend, which is it's the cliffhanger for to watch the next episode. It's like, oh, shit, Scott lost to the first boyfriend. But there's just a part of me that was like, this probably, I mean, because the film isn't bad. And like, I mean, there's themes and tones that are not great. But from a directorial point of view, it's amazing. And like the way that it looks is great. And the music is fantastic. Beck did the soundtrack and stuff.
What?
So it's like, let's just leave it where it is. It's like it's a piece of evidence of 2008, right? Mm. And let's just leave, like, I understand Scott Pilgrim was a comic beforehand and like, that's probably, like, and the style of the animation is super cool and it's very manga and, like, that's all very cool and stuff. But I don't know. I just couldn't get excited. It just felt like most things on Netflix these days where I'm like, That's my reaction to everything. It's like, yeah.
Whatever.
And then I watch one episode of it and I'm like, I don't think I'll watch another episode of this Scott Pilgrim.
It's not terrible, but I just found it really hard.
But there's too many other things. I would rather watch, there's another three seasons of Bosch that I haven't watched. So I'd rather watch all of that.
I just feel like
The
story of Scott Pilgrim is not a story that I'm interested in anymore. Yeah. Like, because it's about young young love.
I've grown
up.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing as well. Like, we've grown out of it. I can't relate to this because I'm like, you guys will date for a year and a half and then she'll cheat on you or you'll cheat on her, you know, and then eventually you guys will settle down with completely different people in 15 years' time and, like, and none of this will matter. You won't even remember her name.
Yeah.
Like,
even the angst from the roommate, like watching a TV show about someone who's a loser who can't get his shit together.
Yeah.
I think it's just maybe, I think it's maybe where I am in my life where I'm just like, oh, grow up.
I'm the first time watching it, you're like, oh, Kieran Culkin's such a fucking drainer.
Yeah.
And like now as a 44-year-old, like you're like,
Right.
Kieran Culkin's absolutely right. It's his apartment. He owns everything. Like, just kick this fucking bitch out.
Yeah. And I just think that there's something about that. Because the thing is, if you want to do a story that is about the loser who can't get his shit together, then you've either got to make the story about fucking girlfriend, blah, 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 it is boring. You've got to make the story. Like, you want to make a story about a loser? Big Lebowski. Make it an interesting story. Make it a funny story. Make it a thriller. Make it, like, something, you know?
And the other thing that this cartoon pointed out to me about the characterization in the film is that Ramona, who's like the manic pixie dream girl.
Hey, call out to her. Sorry, don't stop it. It's okay. Hey. Oi. All right. So how many grumps do you want to give this one?
Oh, well, I had a couple of
Okay, well, go.
So the thing that I was saying before we got interrupted by the dogs was the character of Ramona is because you're watching it in a cartoon, you can't see Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And it points out that, like, in the film, or it points out to me that in the film, her character was so shallow and really just heavily relied on the fact that she was so beautiful. Because that's when you could see why Scott would, like, give up everything to get together with her. But then in the cartoon, you're really heavily relying on her personality. And she doesn't have one.
Yeah. Yeah, none of them
because
do. None of them do. It's boring. That's not great.
Yeah, it felt very monotone as well, right? Like the tone of it and stuff. The animation is good. The voice cast is obviously amazing because it's the same cast from the original film, but it's just not enough to keep you interested.
How many grumps? One. I give it one.
One and a half?
Yeah, I give it one. Because the one is because it's anime and the anime is fun, which I really like. But I fell asleep. I don't care about these people. I don't care about the storyline. The storyline's weak. It's not like at the time it would have been like niche and cool and angsty, and I'm just over that. It's not interesting anymore.
Yeah.
But ooh la la, the second thing. We watched a movie called Theater Camp, which I fucking loved because I love theater.
Yeah.
So fun. Oh my god, this movie's so fun. Didn't you not like it?
I didn't mind it.
What? Shut up. What are you talking about? It was great.
I felt like a lot of the, like, If you want me to be completely honest, it felt like a film that was written by people who are actors who think they're hilarious but actually aren't that funny.
Okay, so this is the thing. I said this as we were watching it. I was like, this movie is great, but it is very fucking niche, right? If you're someone who is a banker or, like, you know, you don't know, like, you're like, my favorite films are Fast and Furious and I'm a banker, or you're a fucking dental hygienist, you're not going to like this film because you're not going to understand the way that these characters are and the story and their motivation, all that stuff. It's, you're not going to be able to relate to this movie if you don't have or have not had some kind of history within the art industry, within theatre.
I think there's an element of that. I think also the two main protagonists are pretty unlikable people, and that's difficult in a light comedy film where it's like, well, these people are atrocious. I don't care.
They're not atrocious. They're good. No, that's what.
Are you serious?
They're not bad people.
They're just passionate about theatre.
That's not just because they're codependent. They're not bad.
Awful people.
They're not. Yeah, but they're not mean, awful people.
They're selfish, self-centered, awful people.
I don't agree. I don't. They're not Succession awful.
No, not as bad as that. But they're completely self-involved.
Yeah, they're self-involved, but they're not awful.
The redeeming character.
They're not mean to people.
The character that you get behind in this film is the son who is unwittingly given this theatre camp and has to try and save. At first, like, but I mean, to be fair to him, at first he's like, oh, well, you know, we need to make this into a thriving business. And then over time he sees how much it means to the kids, and he is the instigator of keeping the camp open, while the other two protagonists have no idea that really any of this is happening. And then when they're confronted with the news of it, the girl just walks off. It's like, oh, I don't have time to think about this. Like, they're not great. They're not great. Like, their little story gets resolved in the end that, like, she goes off to go and do, like, performance and he's going to stay a teacher at the camp. But that, all of that is facilitated by the son, who's worked his ass off to keep this camp open for the kids because he sees how important it is for the kids.
Do you know that guy, the actor who plays the son?
Yeah.
He's a YouTube star.
Yeah, right.
So, because I was looking him up and I'm like, because I remember him, he was in that After Party thing that we watched. But I was like, oh, I feel like I've seen him in other stuff. But, like, when you look at it, like, one of the original, like, YouTube guys and would make, like, sketches and video back in 2014.
Right.
Before everyone else was doing it. Which makes me really mad that I didn't think of that first to make myself famous, you know what I mean? But, like, Bert Kreischlager behind him. Like, so now he's, like, doing heaps of stuff because
of it. He was really good in this film.
He was really good.
And I'm not saying – the people who wrote – so the two main characters who are, like, this, you know, stereotypical theatre kids who are, like, teaching in a theatre school and stuff, they wrote and directed the film. And I think they played their characters really well. I think they even themselves would have seen that at the end of the film where they're, like, I don't know if these guys have been redeemed enough, because they tack on a little, like, coda at the end where, like, two of the students come up to the guy teacher and are like, I know you're really hard on us, but, you know, we love this camp because of you. And he has this sort of, like, faraway look of, like, ah, oh, this is what I'm meant to be. I'm meant to be a teacher. But, like, up until then, they're pretty, I mean, like, there's some comedy that comes out of it, but they're pretty awful people.
Oh, I thought it was really, really fun, man. I, like, they're, it, again, so fucking niche, because it's about, you know, in America, kids go to summer camp. Like, a lot of kids go to summer camp for 6-7 weeks. And some of them are, like, sports camps or regular camps, but this is a theatre camp, blah, blah, blah. And they're all, so all the kids are really artistic and they're just typical, like, I love Broadway. Like, they're little singers, they're little dancers.
Kelly.
And
20 Kellys.
Yeah, a bunch of little Kellys.
You went to drama school.
Yeah, yeah.
With and your mates, he's still mates with now. Yeah, so you're thinking about all of them and what, So
but it's so cute, man.
I'm not saying it's a bad film. I'm not saying it's a bad film. I'm just saying some of the comedy is a little bit like, he's behind me, isn't he? sort of thing. Like, if a bunch of comedians had written this, it wouldn't resonate the same way as it does with you. But the comedy would have been better. So that's, I'm just saying that, like, they're not, these aren't comedy writers who have written this, but they've tried to write a comedy and they've done pretty well, but they're not comedians.
I'm about to blow your mind. I'm about to blow your fucking mind.
What?
So it was directed. So it's written by a bunch of like people, like actors who do Broadway, four people, right? So like Dear Evan Hansen's one of the things they did. One of them starred in Mormont. So it's just a bunch of mates who do Broadway, got together, did a show. So this was a show first and then it got made into a movie. Good for them, right?
Right.
So the one of the writers is a chick called Molly Gordon.
She's the main girl.
Yeah, so she also directed it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so Molly is Rebecca Diane.
Yeah, she's the main girl.
Do you know where else she is from?
No.
She directed it and wrote it and the main girl. She was great, I thought. Claire from The Bear.
Oh, it is her. Yes. She's so annoying. She annoys me. Oh,
we hate Claire from The Bear.
She annoyed me in this film as well.
Nah, I thought she was good. I thought she was good. She was really good.
The character. Yeah. She's good at playing these characters. She's a good actress.
Good on her, man. I had no idea. Like when I just read that, I was like, oh, so the character of Claire from The Bear was written so poorly and so shit. She was really kind of like, yeah, she was really silly and interesting in this.
Yeah, definitely.
So good for her, man. This film, man, there was just so many elements where I was like, they really hit the nail on the head when it comes to a bunch of fucking theater kids who are like, just the bullshit about, you know, when she goes, I need help developing my character. And he's like, I can't help you. And she's like, you know, please. And he's like, so what are the character's allergies? And she goes, what? And he goes, we have a lot of work to do. That made me laugh so much. Like the just the fucking wankiness of drama school. There's such a wankiness that they really, really hit.
Yeah.
Like ballpark, mate. And like especially that where I'm just like, what are their allergies? I'm like, because that's the stuff I went through drama school and I'm just like, fuck off. Yeah. Fuck off, dickheads.
Here's what I'll say about this. Here's something positive I'll say about this film. And there are a lot of positives. It's a fun watch and it's nice. It's a nice film. At the end of it, you'll have the warm and feelies, you know what I mean? But the third act is better than the other two acts in the film. The third act is where everything starts to come together and I was really in. The last half an hour of the film, I was in. But it took a long time for me to warm up to this movie. But you start to see, you get a couple of surprise performances from people in the cast where, I don't want to spoil too much in case you watch it, but like people who have just sort of been hanging around have all these surprise talents and stuff, and that's really fun to watch. They put on, you get to see the end of year performance.
Which is really sweet.
And that's probably the, like it's hilarious and sweet. And it's also great because a lot of the time in these sort of things, you don't get to see that. You don't get to see the whole performance and you do get to see it here. The music is great. Obviously, if it's written by a bunch of theater kids, then, or, you know, musical theater kids, they know what they're doing. But the songs and stuff are great. A film where the third act is the best act of the film is rare and they did really well. But I just like, it didn't resonate with me the same way that it did.
That's fair enough because, as I said, it's like if you went to drama school, if you're an actor and you went to drama school, musical, like it really, they have done it a good job.
Yeah, I'm sure they have.
It was really fun.
That probably should make me, look at the film and give it a higher rating or whatever, but just from my own personal standpoint, I didn't get a lot of the references because there's a lot of musical theater jokes and stuff in there. I'm like, I don't know. And that's on me. I'm not educated enough to get the joke. So, you know, they're probably doing a good job there. But
it's like if there was a film about...
For someone who didn't go to drama school and doesn't know every musical ever, this film kicked off in the last act because the story that I was following, that I was interested in, was the son. The son had a character arc. He developed as a guy. Like, he was all about, like, trying to make fucking TikToks and money and shit. And over the course of this summer, he discovered that he finally worked out why his mum was so obsessed with this school and fell in love with the kids and keeping the school open. And he achieves that and becomes a complete person by doing that. And that's a really good basic storytelling in a film.
Because she's in a coma. When she gets out of the coma, she's like, don't give my son the theater camp. Because the first thing he did was try and sell it.
Yeah, the third act. So if you're watching this and like, look, I would say this. If you're a drama person or love musicals or have done any sort of drama course or anything, you'll love this film. If you haven't, still watch it because it's well made and enjoyable. But just hang in there because the first sort of half an hour you might be like, I'm not really getting this at all. But the third act is a really nice feel-good film.
And it's funny and it's silly. And, yeah, I thought it was – I had a lot of laugh out loud. It's not a film I would re-watch. Like it's not like JFK where I could just watch it and watch it again because once the jokes are out, it's out. But, yeah, I just I felt like it was a good – it did a good job. Did a real good job.
Yeah, I'm giving it 2.5 grams.
Really?
Yeah.
Mate, I'm going to give it 4. I actually thought it was really – and the music was really sweet and really fun. And it just – some of the jokes about how much of a wanker you can turn into in drama school is perfect because I remember being a wanker. I still am.
Being? Am I right, gang?
Yeah, 4. I'll give it 4 grumps, man. I just thought it was real
fun. Yeah, loved it. You were giggling the whole time. You were screaming. You were, you know, you were up and out of your chair. You were like, popcorn was flying everywhere. You loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was real fun. I thought it was real fun. I'm on board. You know, I'm on board. What can I say? I'm on board.
What? No, big whoop, want to fight about it.
Big whoop, want to fight about it. Yeah. Very good. All right. Good job, everybody.
Before you go, can you say this to me? This is the best mortadella I've ever had.
This is the best mortadella I've ever had. It's like real good.
This, no. Okay, can we do that line again?
This is the best mortadella I've ever had.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Perfect. We've got it in the can. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Listenership is up and we appreciate that. That's not a brag. I just want to
tell your friends.
Thank you for all the hard work that you guys have done saying, hey, there's these couple of fucking numbskulls down in Melbourne. They talk about new TV shows and films and they're kind of funny sometimes. And we appreciate that support. You can support us even more by rating and reviewing. I know every podcast says this, but it's because it's true. If you can go on the Apple Podcast website for, what's our podcast called again?
Should we just watch it real quick?
Yes. If you go to that and give us 5 stars, it gets us out to more people. It, you know, we can try and get into the new and noteworthy section on the App Store and that helps us get to more people.
So, yay!
That would be rad.
Thank you, friends. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Right, love you guys. You. Love you.
I love
you. Big fucking dickhead.
You boo-boop want to fight about it?
Big whoop want to fight about it?